Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
Back in 1967, there was a songwriter, singer by the name of Paul Anka. How many of you remember Paul Anka? That's right. And he was on holiday in Italy. And as he was on holiday, he was listening to one of the local musicians sing a song. And it was in Italian, of course. And the song was titled My Life. And not the My Life that we sing here. Okay, My Life is in You, Lord. No, it's not that one. And he was impressed by the message of this song. And so when he got back to the United States, when his holiday was over, he sat down and wrote a new song along these same lines about looking back over one's life. And then as he finished up the song, he said, I can't sing this song. This song, I really don't have anything to compare with. I don't have any experience like this song has. And so I need to give this song to somebody else to sing. And he had a good friend in the music industry by the name, just a little known guy. I mean, nobody ever heard of him. Frank Sinatra. Somebody like that, I don't know. At any rate, and Frank Sinatra had been bemoaning some of his decisions that he'd made as a younger man. And he had been involved with the organized crime, and he was actually upset that he had allowed himself to get involved with organized crime and all of that. And he was saying, if I could do it all over again, I think I would do things a little bit differently. And so Paul Anka gave him this song to sing. And let me see if I can, I can't do it like Frank Sinatra did it, but at least I dressed up a little bit. This is not my mobster outfit. If I was wearing mobster, it would be a white shirt with a white tie. But white on white. Let me see here if you recognize this song. And now the end is here, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway and more. Much more than this, I did it my way. You remember that song? Amen. And the second verse says, regrets I've had a few. And I thought of that song as I was studying for the message this morning, because we're continuing in our study of our friend Job. We're in Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And there is a very interesting comment that God makes. Because you remember back in Job chapter 1, Satan accuses Job before God and says, the only reason that that Job is so blessed, and the only reason that Job is so faithful to you is because you've blessed him so much. But if you take away those blessings, then he will curse you to your face. And so God gives Satan permission to impact everything about Job's life except his body. All right, he can't touch Job's body. And so, picking up with our story in Job chapter 2, I'll read verses 1 through 7. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about the earth and walking around on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, even though you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give up for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life." Then Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And that's where we're leaving off today. And so if you remember from 2 weeks ago, this is a lot like that first time that there was a altar call in glory. And here is God up there and all of the sons of God, which is just, as we learned, another name for the angels, are presenting themselves before God. And again, God sees Satan and says, "Well, how have you been? How's it going?" It's just more of a, you know, kind of a pleasant introduction. And Satan, of course, like we said, you know, like talking to teenagers, you can't ever get a straight, you know, response from them. "What have you been up to, Satan?" "Oh, roaming around the earth, walking around, you know, just been up to nothing." No, he's not been up to nothing. He's been destroying Job's life. Amen. And so here again we see Satan giving God this flippant answer. And once again, God comes back and says, "Hey Job, hey Satan, have you considered my servant Job?" And he says the same thing about Job here in chapter 2 as he did in chapter 1. "There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." And so God recognizes that Job, in spite of all of the loss of his wealth, is still serving God. And then this jumped out at me as I was reading this, the second part of verse 3. "And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." And I read that, and I'm saying, like Frank Sinatra, are there some regrets? Does God regret what he has done? Well, first of all, this can't mean exactly what we're, you know, saying here, because it wasn't God who destroyed Job, was it? It was God that gave Satan the permission to take all of Job's physical belongings. God didn't do anything. It was Satan that did that. But I want you to see something that is going on here, even though, as we learned before, Job has become God's champion. Someone who is willing to stand against the most powerful created spiritual being in the universe, who's willing to stand against Satan and not fail. He's the one that God is depending on to show Satan that there is some integrity, there is value in a spirit-led life. Someone who has dedicated their life to serving God. Amen? And although Job had suffered all of these things, God is saying that I have ruined him without cause. And that really struck me. And the only thing that this could mean to me is that as God released Satan to do whatever he wanted to do to Job, that God recognized he could have done something. Because who's taking the blame for this? God is saying, I did this. I ruined Job without cause. And this is, I mean, I have studied this book a bunch of times, folks. I've been in the depths of sorrows and I've gone back to the book of Job to at least find somebody who had it a little worse than I did and try to find some encouragement out of there. And this is the first time that I've seen this, that God is saying, I could have stopped it. I could have not let it happen, but I let it happen. Because God had a bigger purpose. And we're going to learn about that as we continue. Not today, but as we continue in our study in the weeks to come. And what I want us to see today is that when things happen to us, our Heavenly Father is not sitting up in heaven saying, oh, gee, look at that, Deborah's having a bad day. Oh, gee, look at that. You know, Terry's having a rough day today, or Bill's having, you know, a difficult time going through some troubles in his life, that God recognizes, just as we recognize, he's big enough to stop it if he wanted to. I was going to say if he was able to. But that would be kind of incorrect, wouldn't it? But he's able, he can stop it, but I want you to see something. He had a bigger, better purpose in mind. He's not letting Job know about it yet. He's not letting Satan know that he's actually letting Satan be an instrument of blessing to Job. Because if Satan would have gone to the end of the book to see what God's final plan was for Job, Satan never would have gotten involved in this whole champion thing in the first place. Satan was bound determined that he could destroy this man. That he could make him curse God to his face. Amen? And we're going to learn that it was God's plan to bless Job even more. He already was the strongest man, the greatest man in the East. And by the way, that's all there was at that time, was the East. All right. He was the greatest, and God is going to make him even greater. But before he does, there are a few little problems in Job's life that he has to work out. And God is going to, excuse my vernacular here, he's going to sucker Satan into helping to ultimately bless Job. Amen? And so, again, God is bragging on Job. Now, I can see if we are accomplishing great things. We have just met somebody in the hallway and they ask us how church was, and we were able to tell them, you know, what a wonderful time, how we were blessed with Sister Hazel's reading of her little poem or the lyrics, and that person says, well, I think I'll come to church. And maybe they come to church and they get, you know, they get saved, and you know, what a wonderful spiritual victory that is. But when you're going through difficult times, you would say, how is God being blessed by this? And yet, Job isn't to the end of the story yet, is he? We're not to the end of our story yet either. Amen? Amen. And so, Satan comes along, and God is still bragging on Job. Job is nothing. He's nobody now as far as the world is concerned, because Job has nothing to offer. He doesn't have any riches left with which to throw a big party. He has no riches left with which he can help get somebody out of trouble or give somebody some food to eat when they're hungry. He has nothing to offer anybody. And yet God is saying, look at my servant Job down here. He's still my champion. Amen? And you may think, well, here I am. I'm living here. My best years, my most productive years are behind me. I'm not accomplishing anything here. We're just treading water. We're just getting by day to day. And yet, if you are serving God, if you are continuing in your own way to worship Him, to serve Him, you're here in church, you're doing everything that you can, God is saying, have you considered my servant and put your name there? That there's nobody like Him. They may not have a whole bunch of riches according to the world's attitude of what riches are, but they love me. Amen? And God was saying, Job loves me, and Job is still serving me. He may not have the fancy outfit. He may not have the best place in church. You ever noticed in churches, well, there's a whole lot of rich people that they just, the rich people tend to migrate to one area of the church. Okay? And then the have-nots, they're over in the other places in the church. And I don't know why that is. Of course, we don't have that problem here because we all have our own seating here, don't we? Okay. And so that's right. You know, we know who sits where, and you know, and amen. But you know, our place in this church is not based on what we have to offer as far as these worldly goods are concerned. Our place in the kingdom of heaven is based on how much we're loving Jesus.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. And so again, God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Even though you incited me to destroy him without cause. God is not feeling good about what has happened to Job. He does not like what has happened to Job, and I think the way that I'm reading this is God is recognizing that it happened because He allowed it to happen. But just because He had a greater good, just because He had something special planned down the line, just because, you know, it was Satan that made it happen anyhow, God isn't happy about it. And I want you to know that when you go through problems, because folks, we are part of a fallen world. Amen. Amen? And if you don't believe me, just ask your body when you get up in the morning. It just reminds you how much of a citizen we are in this fallen world. We may be part of a fallen world, and we may be going through some difficulties, and we may think that God doesn't care. He cares. But He has something better for us. And we may think we know what is best for us. We know what is best for us in God's sight about as much as a hill of fire ants knows what's best for them in our sight. Amen? We cannot begin to compare our wisdom to God's wisdom. We cannot begin to compare our love to God's love. Folks, the only thing we can do in the presence of such love and of such wisdom is simply surrender to it.
Amen.
Amen. God, I may not understand it. I may think I have a much better way. I know it would make me a lot happier. But there are times when we simply must surrender to God's love and go through this anyhow. And so, verse 6, the Lord says to Satan, behold, he's in your power, but you can't take his life. And so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. I want you to see something that Satan lost no time. It wasn't like, well, you know, I don't have anything else to do. Well, the ball game's on. I think I'll watch TV. I'll catch the ball game today and do whatever I have to do tomorrow. And maybe Tuesday morning I'll go over to Job's place and I will put boils, sores all over his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Satan lost no time at all in hoofing it over to Job's house and bringing sickness on Job. That's what Satan does. The enemy comes only to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's what he does. Don't be surprised when you see that stuff going on in your life and around you, because that's what the enemy does. And when difficult times are coming upon us, and we could cry out to God, God, don't you care? Oh yeah, God's heart is broken here. Because God allowed it to happen, even though he knew there was something better for Job in the end, his heart was broken through the process. And when we're going through sickness, and we are going through loss, and we're going through financial difficulties, and the Word of God promises us that God has an answer. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, my God will provide. Amen? But in the process, God isn't up there feeling good about it. He is hurting right along with us. Amen? You know, I remember when our children were born, especially Elizabeth, because she was so small. Laura Elizabeth. Don't give moms or children their mother's middle name and all that. It's too difficult for us old guys, okay? Laura, our daughter Laura. And she was just a little tiny thing. And they had to go and poke her heel to get blood. And her little foot wasn't but that big anyhow. And so I remember Terry holding that little baby and that nurse grabbing that little, and then they rub on it. That lady is lucky I didn't break her hand. Rubbing on that heel to get the blood down there. Oh, 2 more seconds of that and they would have been putting her hand in a cast. And then taking that little pointy thing, the lancet, and poking the foot, and oh, did Laura scream. And oh, my heart was broken. Everybody was saying, oh. But we knew it was for her good. Amen? And I'm sure that if little Laura could have communicated to us, she would have told us how mean we were. She would have told us, I don't care what your excuse is, I shouldn't have to go through this abuse. And how could you, if you love me, how could you allow this to happen to me? Almost sounds like what we tell God sometimes, doesn't it? But in the same way, just like little Laura didn't know what was best for her and that these blood tests had to be taken for her own good, sometimes we don't understand what God is doing in our life. And I would just encourage each of us, as we go through the problems that life brings. You know, life has its own problems, let alone let Satan get out there and bring us more grief. But as we go through the problems that life brings, God knows what's going on. He has a greater plan that we're going to enjoy someday. But I want you to know that, yes, He does care. What we see here in the life of Job, God, I'm not saying He regrets it, like the song, Regrets I've Had a Few. I don't think God had any regrets because He knew what the latter end of Job was going to be. But He didn't like the fact of what He had to allow happen to Job so that Job could receive the blessing. Amen? Amen. You need to know today that God is hurting, right? According to the Word of God, God is hurting right along with us when we go through the trials that we go through. Amen? Amen. Father God,
morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the shine.